Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. I am pumped for my interview today. I've got the one and only Satema Nali on, who is going to blow your mind with some just absolute gold. I can guarantee it. So now that I've applied a lot of pressure, Satema, how's it going, man? Thanks for... Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm honored. I'm looking forward to the podcast. Looking forward to having powerful conversations. Everything from what we talked about earlier, branding, marketing, sales, mindset, momentum, results. Like, I love it, man. This is my life and this is my life's work. So this is what I do.
Dude, let's get right into it. Who is Satema? How did you get to where you are today?
That's a great question. When I was playing football at BYU 20 years ago, Brigham Young University, I wanted to actually be a teacher. That's all I wanted to be, because a teacher had changed my life. I'm like, I'm going to go be this teacher. And, you know, I was a captain, I was a senior, and I had a chance to go to the NFL. And so they were like, you should just go to the NFL. And when you're done with that, come back and be a teacher. I'm like, okay. So I ended up going to the NFL. Loved it. Had a great experience. Very short, tiny, probably one of the shortest careers ever. And, you know, NFL stands for not for long. You know, it's like, it's a brutal sport. You watch these guys and they're like, boom, they're colliding with each other full speed. And so when I finished up in the NFL, 2 years, I got a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots. It was an amazing time. I came home and I'm like, what do I do with my life? And I'm in Alabama to do my final physical. Like, I'm done with football. So I'm down there. I don't have that much money. I'm kind of like out of money already. And I get this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And at this point, when I'm writing college, I mean, I went to class to get, I just kind of got through to play football. And I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I couldn't put it down. I read it like 3 times in 3 days or something like that. I mean, I just was like, wow. Like, wait, I can buy assets and I can have cash flow and I can be an investor. Everyone needs to read this book. And I came home and I didn't know what to do with my life. And a buddy of mine showed me a check that he had. And he's like, man, look, check this out. It was like 30 grand. And I was like, wow, was that last year? And he's like, that was last month, man. I was like, what? And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, mortgages. I'm like, what the heck's a mortgage? I mean, dude, I was like, did not know. So I jumped in. He showed me the ropes of mortgages in the end of 2003. And in 2004, I got serious about it. So I made this rise 2004, 5, 6, 7. Mortgages led to real estate. Real estate and mortgages led to hard money developments. And we had properties everywhere. We had investments. We had the stuff moving. It was an easy time to make money. And then the crash. And when the crash came, we got obliterated. Like, it was Armageddon and it was like Thanos, right? He just snapped his fingers from Endgame, like, cat, and we lost everything, cars, homes, investments, money. And that was a very difficult time in our lives. So from there, that was about 10 years ago, 2008, 2009, sold my Super Bowl ring to get cash. Was like a little baby, just bawling, like, how did I get here? I can't believe this. And I was mad at God, I was mad at the world, and I was angry. And while I was going through all of this, cars repossessed, homes foreclosed, getting evicted, kicked out, selling everything, my wife's wedding ring, we sold the baby changing station, like for 20 bucks, like, give us 20 bucks, you can have this thing. There was a piece of me that I always knew that I was going to come out of this and I was going to live to tell the story and I was going to use it as a platform to help other people. And today, you know, like, we have amazing programs. We run Immersion here in Southern California. Men and women show up and it's an intense 4-week program. They show up here for 4 days on the fourth week. We have one-on-one clients. We have group clients. We coach. We work with corporations, entrepreneurs. People hire me to speak. They hire me to speak about turning their life around, getting results, and getting their life right. I'm married with 3 boys, love my wife, love my kids, love my life, love my lifestyle. And my mission today is to unleash human potential and help those humans maximize their performance in the world, right? How they live and what they do, what they create. And that's Satema in a nutshell. You can ask more detailed questions, but we went from like loving life to having nothing to being on food stamps, EBT, to being like scraping and borrowing money, like barely being able to make it forever. And then like today we live in Southern California. The beach is like 10, 15 minutes from my home. We live in a beautiful area and I love what I do for work. And it's like my life's work, my mission to really help people unleash their potential and go live the life they were supposed to live.
Man, I absolutely love it. So let's dive into that a little bit. How do you help people unleash their potential? What's that look like?
Yeah, you got it. So when people come into my world, they'll see an ad, they'll listen to a podcast, someone will make an introduction. And it's not like people sit there on Google and say, how to change my life, how to get unstuck. Like there's so many things out there. So we interrupt with what we're interrupt marketers. They're scrolling Facebook and they see an ad that hooks them. They see this video of me and they click. And once they click, like woo, we pull them in and they'll watch a video. They'll fill out an application. They'll get on the phone with one of my guys and they enter into a world where we coach them. Like we get them so clear. We get them to start living by principles and we get them to stop lying. And we just recalibrate and we realign and we reorient their entire life, their business, their marketing, their sales, their relationships, marriage and family, their spirituality, their faith and their purpose, and of course their fitness. And people, when they come through immersion, like everything changes. It's hard. People bawl, they cry, they want to quit. Everyone wants to quit the first night. They're like, what did I pay for? And once they start, like in the waivers, we just tell them, like, hey, you leave now, you get a refund. The moment we start, there's zero refunds if you quit. And we've had several quit over the hundreds and hundreds that have come through, and they quit because it's hard. But you learn something when you're in those that are harsh to me and helped me. And then, you know, when I go speak on stages, right, I get a chance to share the message and move people and touch them. And like, I'll be straight. Like, I'm not a fan of like motivational speakers. Like they're cool. But like, what does that do for someone? It gives them a pump of this like infusion of caffeine. Mm-hmm. And then what? Like human behavior means they're going to go back to the way they've been. So that's where we come in and we help people bridge the gap and live a life of integrity and of results and of character. I love it, man. Like I love what we do.
Do you find that there are consistent patterns in people that, you know, put them into these places where when they finally show up and, you know, the coach appears, right?
It's like, yeah. Like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yeah, Grant, I'll say this. It's like coaching football. Like a football coach or a basketball coach, there's only so many plays and schemes and formations. So a great coach is going to, you know, if I'm coaching offense, I know what the defense is going to do. I have to teach my guys how to recognize the defensive coverage and what they're doing. And then it's just repetition. And it's the same thing, you know, like I help people to get unstuck. I help people to get clear and realigned. I help people to do what's required to get the desired result. And once it's like you become a master of your craft. Like once you know, you know. And a lot of times it's just helping people to discover like what it is that's really getting in the way. Like what's stopping them? What's holding them back? What's having them play small? And, you know, again, I've been doing this for quite some time. So I absolutely love seeing the lights turn on for someone when they really get this distinction and they're like, oh my gosh, I see it. And I'm like, let's go do it. And so they go take action and things change and their marriage gets sweeter and their business gets more efficient and there's no more bottlenecks in the business. And they just have the power to do the things that they've been avoiding or procrastinating on. And I love it, man. It's so special what we do.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. When you do this with people, are you trying to take them back? You know, the therapy route, right? Say if we go there, we're going to go back to maybe a memory in our childhood that caused all of this to take place. Is it that, or are you just getting in and hardwiring people to look at what's in front of us, and here's how we remove all the like? What is that like?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it just depends. like, I'm not a cookie cut coach. Mm-hmm. There's some coaches like, we're going to teach you this model and we're going to teach you this. And okay, see you later. I really coach to what people say and where they're at. And I'm not like, if you need a therapist, go hire a therapist. If you need a psychologist, go hire, if you need medicine, go hire a doctor. But I'm a coach. Like, if you want to go produce results and write the new story and you want to leave the past in the past and let the dead bury the dead, like, I might be your guy. Mm-hmm. And I say, let's go create from where you are. Yes, there's a reason why you're doing what you're doing. But ultimately, like, to get a new result, you've got to become a greater version or a version of you that you have not become yet. And you've got to confront the addictions or the stories or the things, the past that hold you back. So I don't dive too much. We could talk about your past if you want, or we could just talk about what you want and what's required to get it. Let's go do that. And most people are like, yeah, let's just talk about the future. Let's go get that. I'm like, done. If people see me on stage and on a podcast like this and tell people like, that's who I am on stage. And that's who I am as a speaker, but as a coach, a very different ball game because everyone is so unique and so different.
Right. So if I'm unclear, like how do you help me create clarity in my life?
Yeah. Look, it always starts with asking some simple questions. And right, if you ask powerful questions, you get powerful answers. And you know, a lot of people, they don't even know the questions to ask. So it's a simple thing, right? Just to give some real value here. I say, look, if you don't know what you want, start with what you don't want. Like, what is it that you absolutely do not want for your life? Start there. And when they start to write, well, I don't want to be overweight and out of shape, or I don't want to be like obese, and I don't want to be in a broken marriage or alone. And I say, start with what you don't want. Once you, because most people, that's easy. Like, you may ask them, what do you want? Like, I don't know. Well, what do you not want? Well, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to have no money. Once we start at that point, right, I say, okay, we're going to take what you just said you don't want, and we're going to just flip it to the opposite. So if someone says, for example, I don't want to be broke. Well, the opposite of broke would be what? And I'll let them answer. Mm. And in their words, they'll say, typically most people say, like, I want to have financial freedom. I'm like, well, what does that look like? Like, well, I'm like, yeah, just... And then I go to current reality. What's your current reality? And like, well, I make, you know, let's just use some examples. Like, I make $100,000 a year. Great. So it's about like, you know, between $8,000 and $9,000 a month. How's it working? Like, it's okay. Like, well, what more do you want? And when we start to create this future dream or idea, it's not from like a, you know, it's not from a place of just pie in the sky. I tell people, I'm here to help you get results. If all I did was help you get results, I would have done my job. And so we start with what you don't want. We flip the opposite. And then we start to dig deep. Like, what does that look like? Well, what does financial freedom look like? Well, and they're like, how, give me a number. And see, most people, it's so difficult, Grant, to create a vision because they can only create a vision based upon their current experiences or their past, the current, and upon what they know. Right. There's a realm of the things I know that I know, the things that I know that I don't know. And then there's the things that I don't know that I don't know. A lot of people, they just can't even fathom doing $100,000 or $1,000,000 a month. They can't, it's just like, they're like, what? Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to make like 100, like 50,000. So a lot of times as a coach, I've got to paint some pictures of possibilities to help them even understand, like, if you get out of your little town or your city, you recognize there's more money out there. There's people who live lifestyles. I ask even this question, what's the lifestyle? And they're like, well, what do you mean? All people know is get up, work, pay bills, come home, and like party on the weekends, and that's it. And I tell people, look, I get up. I take them to school. I date my wife every week. I, you know, take my kids to the skate park. I coach their games. Like, I love my lifestyle. Mm. You know, I tell people, like, you want to be clear about the life you want to live, not just the money you want to make, but the lifestyle, how you work, how often you work, where you travel, what you do. And, you know, once we start helping people get clear about that and they can see it, and they really want it. Like, they're like, no, this isn't just a want. This is, I must have that. Because, you know, we help them to dig on their why, which is their holy cause. Like, why do you want it? I love what Jim Rohn said, right? The bigger the why, the easier the how. So that's how we get people clear. We journal it. We you know, I'm sitting here at my desk, and I've got to, you know, I got my journal here, and I got journals here, and we teach our people to journal, to write, because that becomes our personal scripture. And then once people get clear and we start to dig on it and we start to chip away things, right? The next step is to get committed to it. And look, it's really fun to help people to open up new possibilities, to create new visions. I mean, we have people in our clients. We've had people who were 300 plus pounds. They weigh 150, 170. They've done Ironman. They've hiked Mount Kilimanjaro. They've run 100-mile races. They've done marathons. We have people that were on the verge of divorce. They were like, papers were ready, and they burned them. They're married. They stayed married. They're happily married. They're in a great position. We've had people with businesses that were struggling, and today they're making an incredible income with an incredible lifestyle. So we all start with helping people to get clear, and it's fun, man.
Yeah, I love that. Satema, hold on 1 second. Satema, sorry. I'm going to pause, and I'm going to switch my wife really fast. I'm so sorry. You got it.
Go ahead.
All right. Do I get you back? Cool. All right. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good, man.
All right. So I'm going to pick back up.
Yep.
So I love how you go about helping people cast a vision for what they want their life to look like. And then we start like casting a vision. It's in sometimes when I've done it for myself, I'm pumped, I'm jacked, I'm excited. I get connected with why I want it. I start to visualize it. How do you, what is it that's going to get me there? Is it just having discipline? Is it, like you said, is it writing about it every day? Is it becoming all that? Like, how do I go from creation to execution to results?
Yeah, great. So we have a model that's called the path. And inside of the path, it's like simple steps. But what, you know, we declare what you want. The second one is we define what's required. And we call it define the necessary required actions. So once you start to cast this vision, it could be 3 year, 5 year, the way it was, bring it back to 12 months, and then we bring it to a 90-day challenge. Everything we do is what we call this 90-day challenge or a 12-week season. It's like seasons, like a football season. That's it. Like 12 weeks from now, what do you want to produce? Now, the reason we do 12 weeks, 3 to 5 years is just, oh, it's so good. It feels so good, warm and fuzzy. Yeah, and you know, you don't have to do anything because it's so far out there. But if it's 12 weeks, and it's a tangible, specific, measurable, time-stamped outcome, like an outcome. Yes, you did, or no, you did. Like, you know, a nice marriage is not an outcome. Lose some weight, that's not an outcome. Make more money, that's not an outcome. I make X amount in my bank account. I've lost X amount of weight. I ran this race. I had, you know, 12 date nights over the last 12 weeks. Like, those are tangible outcomes. So you declare what you want. You define the necessary required actions, and all of them, everything that's required to go make that outcome become reality, you write it down. Once you've written down every necessary required action, with step three, we just say, like, you got to decide, am I willing to do that? You got to decide, am I willing to do those necessary required actions? Yes or no? You know, for an example, if you're going to go lose 50 pounds and run a marathon, like, are you willing to run and eat clean and buy running shoes and run and it hurts and have a coach? Are you willing to get up and sacrifice time on the couch to go run? Are you willing to go learn how to market and sell? Are you willing, like, you know, the decide part is crucial. Most people go from this is what I want to I'm going to commit. No, there's a lot of steps in between. Mm-hmm. So once you declare what you want, number two, you define what's required. Number three, you decide if you're going to do it. There's three steps left. Number four, we call it create. And you create yourself powerful. You got to build a version of you that's consistent and congruent with creating the intended result. Like Tom Brady or Serena Williams or Aaron Rodgers or LeBron James, these athletes walk onto the court, the field, the or what their field of play, and they created themselves powerfully, meaning their self-esteem, their self-concept is so healthy. Healthy ego. Like, I know who I am. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm a champion. I can overcome a 28-3 deficit. I can come back down from 3-1 in the finals, like LeBron James did against the Warriors. So you create yourself every day that we, again, that's a whole nother conversation. And then step five and step six, step five is commit. That commit. Like, commit means we have, every one of our words has specialized meanings. Commit means to do what's required, to do what you said you would do, to act decisively in spite of thoughts, feelings, emotions, and moods. You don't do your best. You do what's required. Doing your best is for kids. Right? Doing all you know is for amateurs. You do what's required. You either did what's required or you didn't. You do what you say you would do, right? If you say you're going to go do X, you go do X. One of my coaches said, so tell me, you know why I make $8 million a year? I'm like, tell me why. He's like, because I do what's required to do $8 million a year. And I'm like, okay, is there anything else? Like, nope, I say what it is that I'm going to do, and I do it. And if people really get commitment, like, it's the place that you come from. It's a place, it's a way of being. So it's not like excitement. I tell, like, you know, David Goggins says, motivation is crap. And it's like, I believe it. Like, motivation is like caffeine. You take a 5-hour energy or whatever you drink, your Red Bull or Monster or coffee, whatever your caffeine choice is, it's going to wear off. Mm-hmm. And so people talk about, like, well, is it willpower? I'm like, no, willpower wears off. You have to be committed, which means you have to put yourself in environments and around people that support you becoming who you need to become to produce the big results that you want. And once you commit every day, like every day, and like, you know, we can go into depth. We have all the systems of how we do it. We return and report. Step six is complete. Like, you complete it. Like, you stop stopping. You don't set goals and set goals and set goals and set goals. Like, no, you actually set an outcome and go smash that thing. Like, you go complete. You don't stop until it's done. Whether it's an income or it's a marketing campaign or it's greater connection with spouse. And that's the game we play, man. Like, it's like, people are like, well, how do I do it? And okay, there's the component of having a coach or a mentor. Like, I love having coaches. And mm-hmm. when people hire us, they hire us to help them get to that top level, like change their trajectory, get more clear, get rid of the expensive things that are costing them dollars. And yeah, I mean, that's how we do it, man.
How do I pull myself out of what I call the drift? Like, you've been in these situations, and I'm sure you've been with people in these situations where they go through these six steps and all of a sudden they wake up 2 weeks later, they don't know what happened, but it's almost like I got to reset. Is it a daily? Do I just make sure I'm intentional about resetting daily? Yep. What do I do to pull myself out of some type of drift? And I'm sure you've experienced this.
Yeah, there's a number of things you can do. Number one, like, you want to have some type of daily, what we call a coach's corner, right? So in football, like the Patriots just lost last night to the Ravens on primetime. Like, they lost. They're no longer undefeated. It's awesome. Because Bill Belichick's right now, you know, they're breaking down the film. They're already they know they're going to face a team like the Ravens again. And when they do, they'll be ready. Mm-hmm. So on a daily basis, like, before I go to bed, like, I check my schedule. I look at what I've done. Like, and this, for someone who's coming, like, look, let's be real. If someone has not worked out ever in their life and they're like, you know, 200 or 300 plus pounds or whatever, and you get them to stop eating crap and to go for a walk, they're going to lose weight. Right? If you've not done any of these things and you do something, you're going to see results. When you're into the momentum and you start to find yourself in a drift, like, you got to reset. So we reset daily by looking at what you've done. Look at the next day. Reset by I meditate every day. Like, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to meditate. Like, it's mm-hmm. midday. I woke up at like 4:30 today. So if I look at the clock, it's like 1 o'clock. Dude, it's like the day's half done. Woke up at 4:30. I've been going for like 6 hours. So I meditate daily, date nights, and not like working out, walks. There's so many things that people can do to snap the drift. Being a part of a group, a coaching group, having a coach, the gym, right? There's like, you name it, lots of things you can do. But when someone is stuck, or they're feeling like, I'm kind of lost, I would tell them the most simple thing is just ask this question. What is the thought that I'm believing to be true that's causing me to drift? What's the thought? What am I believing right now that's causing me to, quote, drift? And what is a drift? In our language, drifts are gifts, allows us to find lessons and gifts, and then we go and create at a higher level. So, you know, sometimes people, it's like the old phrase that says, if a bow is tightly strung for too long, it loses its spring. And human beings are no different. Stephen Covey talked about this when, you know, when he's habit 7, sharpen the saw. You can't grind 24/7. Mm-hmm. There's a reason I meditate. There's a reason why at about 4 o'clock today, I shut it off. Like, I'm done. Like, every day, I'm literally trying to get my work done in like 6 to 7 hours a day. Focused, like just focused. So when I'm done, my kids come home, I go with my kids. Like, why would I want to be addicted to like that? Those people who talk about grinding and bragging about grinding, I'm like, look, that's how you want to live. Good for you. Bravo. But go back to being clear, like, that's not the life I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's a time and a place to grind. But what you can do is create a lifestyle where it's the life you want. And again, going back to your thinking, like, what are you believing to be true that's causing you to drift? That there's a thought there, right? There's a story there that you're believing to be true that causes you to feel like you're drifting. Mm-hmm. And what I found is most people, right, instead of drifting, if you just change the way you look at the drift, that you find the gift in it, mm-hmm. those drifts are like necessary. It's like the universe's way of like, dude, you need to like slow down. Mm-hmm. Or you need to speed up. Like, it's just course correcting us back to our most powerful way of being.
Why is, and this is a dumb question, I know. Why is, You're a massive proponent of investing in the lives of your kids. This is the perfect way to be, you know, spending time with your family, cutting things off at 4 or 5, dating your wife. How is all that stuff so integrated? Is it, how is the having such thriving personal relationships, how does that translate over into the business world?
I love this question, Grant, because what I have found is I've studied and I've interviewed and I've been around high performing guys. When I say high performing, we're talking tens, hundreds of millions. Dudes who had all the money in the world. Dudes were miserable, unhappy. They lost their family. They lost their marriage. And there's a piece of, especially for a man. Okay, I'm speaking specifically for a man. When we are out providing and producing and hunting for our families, the last thing you want to do is have this erosion that takes place in your mind, because you're like, oh man, I miss, man, my wife's not happy with me. And I've been there. I've been there when my wife's not happy and I'm trying to go out and do something powerful in the world. Doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Kids are like, dude, you lied to us, Dad. Like, you said you were gonna do this. I'm like, oh my gosh. And there's only so many times where you can withdraw before it's bankrupt. And dude, it's hard to recover.
Yeah.
So I just made up my mind, you know, and part of it too is I grew up in a home where my parents were, like, my parents were best. Like, they came from the islands. They worked all the time and there was no one home. And I just got clear, like, that's not what I want. Like, that was perfect for my parents. Like, they came from the islands to a country where they had to learn the language. And I just knew what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that guy who climbs the ladder, climb, I'm gonna work hard, I'm doing this for you guys. Don't you know I'm this? And you get to the top and you're like, oh shoot, like, the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. This is not even what I wanted, but you think it is. So the personal stuff, like, you know, Tony Robbins wrote a book, I think it's Unlimited Power. I don't even know the name, but I just remember he talks about it a little bit in the book, and it's something that I've adopted. I'm like, dude, power is the game. Not power like the way the world looks at it, but if you've got personal power, like, you mm-hmm. know who you are, you know what your life's about, you know your purpose, you know where you're going, that, like, takes business to another level. Now there's no erosion. There's no regret. You've made the deposits. Like, I love what Stephen Covey talks about. You deposited into your spouse, your children, your home. Like, our home is a sanctuary of faith. Our home is a protection from the world. Our home's got to be that. And I always say, did you invest in it? Because the greatest investment you make, aside from investing in yourself as a business owner, it's in your family. Like, put the returns will come. And again, I know what I want. I want, and my kids hit these teenager years, I want them to come to us and talk to us, come to us and express their faith. So, you know, you see a lot of these guys who leave their families behind and go build these businesses. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm going to go build a business and my family's going to be with me and my wife's going to be with me. I just know without a doubt, like at 100%, you don't have to sacrifice your marriage or your fitness or your spirituality to go get the dollar. It works together. Mm. And, you know, unless you're just addicted to wanting to work. And some guys work a lot because they don't want to go home. They don't want to go have the conversation with their spouse. Something's not right at home. So they just work. And it's a great, well, I'm doing this for us. Like, our families, our country is better served when the men, we are the leaders of our home. And like, there's a lot of single moms out there that might listen to this. I love you. Like you are the most amazing, powerful people because you're doing it. You're doing two jobs, the father's role and your role. And then you got to provide. So it's like three jobs in one. So my hand goes off to like all the single moms and single dads. And I just know this is the life I want to live. I'm not going to get to the end of my life and wish and regret. Like every day for me counts. Like, again, you know, it's 1 o'clock here at this time, right? My boys will be home in like 90 minutes, which means I've got to finish up my work 90 minutes as they get home so I can play catch, so I can help with homework, so I can like do stuff that, and do naturally. I would rather just work because it's just like, yeah, I want to get my work done, but I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And it, my business thrives when my marriage and family and my home, my faith, when those are in alignment, man, business is amazing.
Yeah, and I love what you just said there, like pulling the, are these components to momentum, like when the relationship's good at home, the kids are thriving, my faith is dialed and aligned, my fitness, my diet, like are these things all components of momentum where when you get all this stuff aligned, you've just got rocket fuel headed down the right path? And if, like, talk to me a little bit about momentum and
momentum is big, right? So we've got this natural resistance, right? Stephen Pressfield wrote a book called The Art of War. Yeah, the War of Art, the War of Art. It's one of the, Stephen Pressfield, phenomenal book. He talks about resistance and we face resistance daily. Like to get out of bed this morning, it's cold in my house. It's probably like 69 degrees. It's cold upstairs. And it's 4:30. I'm like, I get up. I look at my clock. I'm like, oh man, maybe I should just go tonight. I'm like, no, I said I'd go. And so the moment I get up, when I say I'm going to get up and my feet hit the floor, it's like, thank you. Right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. And I get to the sink and I use the bathroom and I get my face, my brush, my teeth, contacts in. And if I can get downstairs and I start listening to talks, again, here's momentum. I got up, I'm already at the gym, I'm listening to some church talks or some business podcasts. I'm like victory, 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 momentum. And all of a sudden, when you get like, right, what do they call it? The law of the big mo. When you got momentum, you ride that thing. Mm-hmm. It's sports. It's like in the game of sports, when you got momentum, you ride it and you put your foot on your enemy's throat. You like press because the pendulum might swing back and here they come and you've got to be able to withstand this. So I love having this life that is multidimensional. Most guys are one dimensional, maybe two, like they work out and they got a great job, but their family's crap and their spirituality is crap. Mm. Multi-dimensional, right? Physical, spiritual, relational, financial. Those are the basics. Now, when we talk about other dimensions, right? This listening, this perspective, the truth, this clarity, you start to add this entire dimensional way of living. It's like being a superhuman being. It's like being an Avenger. Like you got these powers. Yeah. And most people, they're like, wow, you just look so happy. And when stuff hits the fan and markets are shifting and dude, you can stand in the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. Be like, I got this. Because you've won so many times before.
Yeah, I love that. I created this index. I call it the Greatness Index. And I wrote out what the four most important categories for me, which was health, family, faith, business. Those were the categories that I had highlighted. And then inside of that, there were five subcategories for each. Okay, what's the five most important things that I should do today for this category, this category, this category? And created a rating system, 1 to 5. And then each day, I created this index of scores. Okay, so my score for this category was this. That means that, you know, I achieved greatness in that category. But I struggled with my, maybe it was my family, or I struggled with my health today, which pulled my whole score further down today. So I didn't achieve greatness overall, but I, you know, was great in these specific categories. I failed in these specific categories. And I found that just creating an easy, that wasn't easy to create, but creating a tracking mechanism that could tell me, like, yes, you achieved greatness in all categories of your life today. And the days that I was spot on, like, I was indestructible. And the days where I missed ended up maybe not a relational issue, but disagreement. Kids were going crazy. I was impatient or all of the, it was just fun and unique to see how, based on how I scored inside my index, it totally transpired into what my day was actually like or what the next 10 hours ended up being.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh yeah.
It was fascinating. See, so I know I'm getting near my end of my time here. I'm sorry if I'm going a little bit over with
you. You're good.
But what happens in those days where maybe you get up, you grab a win or two, and then you get a knock? Life happens. How do you reset quickly? You know, baseball was a big sport for me. It's a sport I played a ton of. The game of baseball taught me to have a really short memory. Because if I played shortstop for most of the time that I played baseball, if I made a mistake and I let it linger, I made another mistake. And then it compounded and compounded. And then I was at bat and I sucked. And then this happened and this happened. But if I would have had a short memory, forget all of, not forget about it, but hey, you made it, move on. Let's go to the next play. I had to play lights out. How do you reset when maybe your momentum is tampered with? Something happens that distracts you, or something happens that throws you off, or maybe you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Your integrity got violated. How do you work through those moments?
So, look, I love this question because here's the reality. Almost every day,
yeah,
you get a linebacker, you get a fastball, you get something that just knocks you off course. It happens every day. I mean, there are some days where I go through and I'm just like, you know, I'm walking on sunshine. I'm like, yeah, like, life is good. And, you know, a few things that I do. Number one, I make sure I've meditated and I've done my spiritual disciplines. I need that every day. Like, if I haven't meditated, my family knows, like, did you meditate today? I'm like, no. They're like, go meditate. And it typically ends up me like falling asleep, like just out for 20 to 30 minutes every day. Like, I need that. Number two, I like to breathe like 10, 5 to 10, just and as I inhale, like I just, again, I visualize, I inhale, like this is what I want. When I release, I like I visualize just letting go of whatever energy, whatever thoughts and stories. And look, it's easy. You know, I got three boys. Sometimes they don't want to listen. Okay, a lot of times they don't want to listen. They want to do it their way, and it gets challenging. So between meditation, between like just deep breathing, and then the calendar. Like, I go look at the calendar. What's next? And that's why we plan our weeks out with the most important things on, because I just know if I get off track, all I have to do is, and look, this is why I'm such a advocate of calendaring. Because if it's not on my calendar and I've got blocks, you know what the easy thing to do is? Facebook, Instagram, ESPN, what's going on in the news, then we go see what the news, I mean, it's just, we are like the people out there who run marketing, like you and I were part of them. And I'm talking these organizations, they are trained. They get paid millions of dollars to get our attention, to stop us in our tracks and to get us looking at their stuff. So the calendar is important because all I have to do is I know, like, again, I got something in like 18 minutes. Like, I just stick to my calendar. Once my day's done, I'm off with my boys. And if I ever get thrown off, like there's an argument or I get mad, there's a deal that went south, like I just need some space. I just need to go for a walk. I should go out and just, again, recalibrate, remember, like recalibrate and okay, what do you want in this situation? A great example is like road rage, right? I'm not a road rage dude, but you see dudes who make some poor decisions. They fight over what? Because they got mad? And if you just stop and say, let me remember and recalibrate. Well, what do I really want in this situation? I don't want to be in jail. I don't want to fight. I don't want to hit anyone. I just want to get to where I'm going. And my ego got in the way. And that's what I liken, you know, what you just, when you get knocked off, it's like road rage. Like it was a small thought. And it's like 15 to 20 seconds. And if you let that run your day, like, I'm like, really? You're going to let that thing have you go eat ice cream and binge on Netflix for 3 days straight? Really? Or like if you're on your diet, okay, you had a donut or you had a burger. Just get back on. Don't be like, oh, it's too late. I'll start next Monday. I'm like, dude, it's Monday. I'll start next Monday. No. But you just remember and recalibrate and get back to the schedule. Like, let's go. Like, this, okay, I had a poor thought. I made a poor decision. Right back on it. And something, again, sometimes for me, I need to breathe, man. I need some space. You know, if I need space, I need to go for a quick drive or go for a walk. I got trails out here. And yeah. Typically I can calm down like 5-10 minutes, get back, meditate. And again, you train yourself to be a master so you can quickly boom, come back, quickly boom, realign, quickly boom, reorient, like get back in alignment.
And it's, I love the way that you do it because this stuff is planned for you. Like the rest, the investments, the date nights, this stuff isn't reactionary. You're not reacting and then justifying. You're not like, okay, I'm going to eat ice cream because I've been fantastic for the last 2 weeks. You're like, no, I'm eating ice cream because I planned I was going to do this a month.
Yeah, I plan my cheat meals. Like yes. I know when I'm going to like have a reward meal. Like I get two a week. And as long as like, I mean, I got, this is protein, right? I got 64 ounces of protein in this thing I'm drinking today. I plan pretty much everything. And then you got to have a plan for when you get punched in the mouth, you just get back on. I know there's going to be a part of my 64 ounces.
Are you on that rock diet still? Is that what you got going?
No, man. I got two solid meals in me today. Like I got some weight to lose. Let's put it that way. So.
Dude, that's awesome. So yeah, no. Back to that. Like, if you don't react and then justify why you are doing something. Like, if you like, well, I'm not going to get up today because I got up early every day for the last month. That's a reaction if you're doing it in the moment. But if you're like, no, I gave myself this window. I planned I was going to sleep for an extra 2 hours today. Planning those things, and in my world it's way easier to experience discipline. It's like, no, we're grinding because I see 2 weeks from now the time that I'm giving myself maybe to rest for a whole day or maybe to sleep an extra 2 hours or maybe I'm gonna take a warm shower today instead of a cold shower. Like, if you plan those things, you're, in my mind, it's just been better for me to like give myself something to look forward to so that I'm like, nope, today I'm doing what I said I was going to do. I'm gonna have integrity with myself so that I can have it with everybody else. And I think that's really powerful. Okay, last question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a bunch of last questions for you.
Great, this is great. We got some time.
Last question. Is this all like a muscle? Are we consistently building it up? Because obviously, and at least I think most people don't experience, they wake up tomorrow and boom, everything clicks. Is this just something we got to just continue stepping into the gym and getting our reps in and building up these muscles, building up our disciplinary muscle, our habit muscle, our integrity muscle? Are we building up these muscles as we go throughout this process of you know, redefining ourselves and evolving as people and so on and so forth?
Yes. And no, 100% yes. We're building a habit. We're building this way that we don't react, but we respond. I always teach this to our people. Powerful people respond. Weak people react. So we're building how we respond. We are building the muscle memory of like, it's 4:30, boom, get up, get to the gym, lock and load by 5. When my kids act and behave a certain way, then they're tired, they're hungry, they're grouchy. I've got to train myself. So the answer is yes, we're building this muscle memory. And also, I also believe 100%, and this is a whole, like, we could spend 12 hours on this. To make a quantum leap, right? Most of the progression is very like incremental, linear. It's just like, boom, boom, just keep, get my reps. There comes a time where people know, like, if I keep doing this, I'll never get there. It's too slow. So they have to make these quantum leaps, like radical bounds. And that's where you have to shake the system, right? You have to like reboot the system. And that's where like really real transformation is. Like, you know, change is adding something or taking something away. But transformation is creating something entirely new, right? It wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we're developing these muscles. We're adding to, we're taking away, we're getting better and better. And I believe that in sports, right? Get better. But what is it that takes an athlete from get better to like champion? Mm. And you like, that's not done the slow way. Like there's a whole nother model about that. And again, that's another 12-hour conversation. So to answer your question short, yes, 100%. And there's times where you got to make some big leaps and bounds that are quantum that like most people never get there. They miss it. They get to their end of their life. Like, oh, that was cool. Like you missed it. Like, you missed the window. Like you missed that leap, that quantum bound. So
I find myself waking up at like every 3-4 months and just be like, F you, dude, I'm done with you. Like, I think you're like a great guy, but I never want to be you ever again. So I'm changing. And then what'll happen is like every year-ish, I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a new phone. I'm changing my wardrobe. Like
our clothes,
about me, my physiology, like everything is changing. Cause I don't want to be the person I was yesterday anymore. Is that kind of what you're describing?
Yeah, it really is. And it's not like a surface like I hear you say that and someone might hear the podcast and like, huh, that sounds cool. But it's not like this surface thing, right? It's a deep,
yeah, like everything about me is changing, and it's changing today. Like yeah. I've decided now, I've put up with it long enough.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's really how you make the quantum leap, like these bounds. Mm. And it's not just small incremental. It's big, but in order to get that, you've got to have been able to do the foundational, just step-by-step increment. You've got to create this foundation where you can...
Where you can do that. Because I always tell my wife, like, honey, just because you're ready for summer doesn't mean winter is over. Like, so just because you're ready doesn't mean it's going to happen. So when people make those quantum leaps, as you're calling it, there should be, or should there be an understanding that like, hey, we still got a little thing going on here? Or is it like, no, like it's done. It's over. It's changed.
It's both. I mean, like sometimes when you want to go quantum, people around you, they're not ready for you. They're like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. And so sometimes that you have to be patient, because I know when I've made large strides in my business, it wasn't easy, because when you're talking about going from here to here, right? There's this large gap. Mm-hmm. And it's not just as easy, because it might be easy for you, but you have your spouse, you have your children, you have all the people that currently know you as the old you. So there's some transition that's required.
Yeah.
And if someone's committed, like you can get them to rise with you.
Yeah. Wow. I love it, man. I could have at least 100 other last questions. So I'm going to go ahead and cut myself off here. I appreciate you so much for dropping by the podcast, man. I've been waiting to talk to you one-on-one for 3 or 4 years. So I'm glad I finally got the opportunity to do that. I know that if anybody was listening to this podcast today, they walked away with immense amounts of value. So how can we pay you back? What's the best way that we could follow you? We could buy from you. What can we do to
you've got it. Well, first of all, thank you. I'm honored to be here. Like it's always an honor and always a privilege to share my story and what we do in my organization with great people like you, Grant. So first of all, thank you. Acknowledge you and your tribe, your podcast. I would tell people, look, you know, go to my site, setemagali.com, SETEMAGALI.com. And on there, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. I've got a podcast, and find the medium that works best for you, that I can contribute to your life. And if anything that I do resonates, follow, share, listen, you know, share it on and consume it. And if it doesn't, like, then it's been my honor to be with you on the podcast. I just know this, I'll share this with everyone. When you want to go transform your life, you've got to have different voices and different subscription. Like you got to listen to something different to help you see something more that you couldn't see. And if I can do that for you and contribute to the way you've been contributing to their lives, Grant, I'd love to. So that's it. Like go listen to my podcast, go check out my programs, go follow me on Instagram and just consume what it is that we do. And if I can help you in any way, we have programs to do that, but for free, like podcast, follow me. And if there's anything I can do, just let me know.
I love it, man. Guys, make sure that you go to satemanali.com. We'll make sure that we link that up in the show notes. That way you can connect with him. I highly, 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 highly recommend that you do that. I get a daily dose of Satema almost every single day and have for the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm really excited and appreciative that you continue to wake up every day and show up, man. So we appreciate you. And guys, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks and have an amazing day.